In 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 6, it says that Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him, not by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. He had become frantic. God was no longer speaking to him. He had no direct line to God, and the prophet Samuel was no longer around, and Saul was facing a fearsome battle. He had rejected God when the going was good. Still unrepentant now, he was spiraling out of control. The complete change from a self-effacing believer to an arrogant destroyer and then to a pathetic mouse of a man must have been sad to chronicle. It was finally that Saul, receiving no answers to his prayers at all, so he went to a medium, the witch of Endor. She gave no new information to Saul, except that it was his last day on earth, just as he had suspected. It is commonly believed that when she called Samuel up, that it was a sovereign act of God. This may be so, but nothing more than the words of the woman are there to say it was Samuel, and nothing more was generally known about Saul apart from the fact that his death was imminent. Of all the people I have known who sought the dead through mediums, none of them benefited, and one I know ended in a psychiatric hospital. He had refused to talk to his mother while she was alive, but decided he wanted to after her death. Very often, people in high positions, royalty, politicians, even bishops, have been known to practice spiritualism. Henry II of England would take confession before setting sail and take advice from an augur regarding the time to travel. There must always be a clear line between Christian prophecy and fortune telling. And any spiritual gift must be seen to come from heaven above without any shadow of doubt at all. At this time, David was seeking to cope with the present, but Saul was having to face the future and was delving into places God did not want him to go to, by means not opened to him. If God is silent, then there is no need for us to know what he doesn't want us to know. The Lord limits our vision to see the future. Years ago, when horses pulled carts on the road, their vision was limited to see only what was at the front of them by blinkers, so that they did not scare at what was happening at their side elsewhere. And there are parts of our lives that are close to us. We put our life into the Lord's hands and trust him for the future. We must ignore people who claim to know our future. God is in control of it. And yet it is true, on occasions, some people have had a glimpse of it. Peter did. Jesus said to him, "I can guarantee this truth. When you were young, you would get ready to go where you wanted, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will get you ready to take you where you don't want to go." The Apostle Paul had the same experience, because Ananias, who went to him, said that God had told him, "I've chosen this man to bring my name to nations, to kings, and to the people of Israel." God just did not tell him that he would be in chains when he was doing it, though. David Duplessy, was a Pentecostal minister in South Africa. When Smith Wigglesworth, the British evangelist, visited him on one occasion, he told him that he would take the Pentecostal message to the historic churches of the world. And it happened. But this would seem the exception rather than the rule. Elisha experienced the fog of not knowing the things that had happened. In 2 Kings 4, it says, "But the man of God said, 'Leave her alone. She's bitter. The Lord has hidden the reason from me. He hasn't told me.'" Our future is in God's hands. To try to manipulate it or try to rush it, as some of David's followers wished him to do, would be wrong. We must deal with the present in a positive and a righteous way. If there is no indication as what to do, then we must keep on doing what we are doing. And may the Lord bless you today in what you are doing. Amen.